been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst. We'll get to him soon, but right now let's give the market report. Well, we had a pretty bad day yesterday, and we are getting back a little bit of that today. The NASDAQ was down 116 yesterday. It's up 10 points is what I show so far today. Weakness continues in that NASDAQ. The S&P 500 is up 12 points. The Dow right now is up 100 points. Boy, it's moving all over the place. The NASDAQ's down 10 now. You've got a lot of volatility in the market these days. That's an understatement, right? The crude oil markets are down today as the IMF once again lowers their forecast. How low can you go? Said the Limbo Rock. Crude oil down $1.25, $88.10. The gold market's down $8 to $16.78. Silver down 39 cents. The 10-year is up 4 basis points to 3.943, and Bitcoin is up 196 to 19,125. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. 23 years as a professional money manager. Hopefully, we can walk you through the market a little bit here today. Calm your nerves.
Aging in dog years this year.
That's like right. But calming nerves, but also telling the truth. Okay, we're not perma bulls. We're not going to slap you on the back and tell you to stay the course, especially if you're, you know, retired, nearing retirement. There are a lot of evasive actions you can take here. We are in a bear market. There's no question about it. This will be my third major bear that I've witnessed. This one's not major yet. It could get more major along the way. That kind of depends on where inflation goes and what the Fed does and where those earnings go from the S&P 500 companies. We had a pretty bad day yesterday. I sent out a chart this morning. My daily trading list had about 60 stocks on it or so. These are ideas, okay? I'm counting on you out there with your knowledge of technical patterns and whatever your trading style is to take a look at those. They're potential ideas. But I also showed a chart of the NASDAQ, which is pretty ugly, very ugly. The NASDAQ has broken support, and if it continues, I mean, if it doesn't recover here and snap back within the mean, the next level of support is cleared down around 9,700 or so, and then after that, it's 7,000. I just want you to keep that in mind. I'm not saying it's going there, but that's where the next level of support, real support, is on the NASDAQ. You go back to the COVID year of 2020. So you had the fifth consecutive down day. You've still got those UK debt worries. The Dow eked out a little gain. We have softness in the energy stocks today, the oil and gas stocks. And, of course, we have softness in the tech stocks once again, which, you know, Barry, I look at charts of Microsoft and AMD and NVIDIA, former stalwart stocks that, you know, could seemingly withstand any kind of onslaught from the market. They continue to break down. They continue to break down and not look good at all.
They do, and I think, you know, I think really what you've got in the UK is a great example of it, and I think we're likely going to see it, you know, further and further around the globe, especially if you have, you know, central banks really kind of doing what needs to be done, kind of sticking to their mandate. versus on the other side, you've got, you know, Turkey, for example, right? That would be not really sticking to your mandate, lowering interest rates no matter what. But, you know, you know there's a, you know, almost a, you know, war going on. We're not talking about, you know, Russia and Ukraine. It's really between central banks and politicians, right?
Yep.
And those in charge. And if you look, you know, classic example, you've got, you know, the UK, you know them wanting to, central bank wanting to, Bank of England wanting to raise, needing to raise, trying to kind of, you know, almost circumvent or prop up, right, whatever, you know, the politics are on the other side. And, you know, those two things, you know, raising rates, you know, in recession, right, or unemployment, you know, don't go together, right?
No.
You know, that's, you know, we're going to get that, you know, you get take a classic example of, you know, George Bush Sr., right? You know, Herbert Walker, whenever you had going into recession, right, that was, you know, a lot of it a bit caused by raising rates into an election. But, you know, sometimes, you know, those two things, you know, kind of butt heads, and we're seeing it in England, and we're likely going to see it in a lot of different places. ECB's in the same situation.
Yep, and you know, today the precursor to the big CPI report tomorrow, which measures consumers. Today we got the producer price index, which measures producers, and it did came in
hotter
yeah. than expected.
Yeah, you've got what we're expecting 0.2 for the month. You got 0.4 year to date. You know, we're looking for 8.4. We got 8.5. So, you know, there's two things there. Either it doesn't affect the some of that's going to flow through to the CPI. How much that flows through there is going to be important because let's just say none of it flows through to the CPI. Well, you know, inflation may go down, but earnings are also going to go down, right? Because companies haven't passed as much of that inflation through. So, you know, really, you know, almost, in my opinion, not good for the market either way. And you saw kind of the futures take a dip when that number came out a tiny bit. But I think we're up mostly positive, just slightly at the moment. But yeah, that's not a good sign for the CPI tomorrow.
No, and if the CPI comes in, oh man, hotter than expected, I'm going fishing. Yeah, I'm taking, you know, it could get really rough, but we'll see. You know, today, so far, the PPI, the market seems to be handling it okay, and but it did come in hotter than expected. The futures were up pretty nicely before it came out, and then it immediately dipped. You still got the worries in the UK. They are pulling out all the stops right now, trying to, you know, shore up their bond market, which is under attack. And I think because they're going in a different political direction from the rest of the Europe region there, the Eurozone, I think the bond vigilantes are after them. So that, you know what, that's holding. People don't realize how something like that over in the UK, which is kind of underneath the surface, we don't see the actions they're taking in their bond market. That's having a major effect on our U.S. stock market. And I think the one I watch here just to monitor that situation, FXB, is the British pound sterling, and it has leveled off, but it's been really rocky here recently. It's gotten pounded. Now, there's a good one. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, speaking of pounded, well, we didn't get pounded. I thought the Padres at least kept the game from getting away from them.
I got back out of bed to watch that in those last couple innings.
Yeah,
by the way,
Bill. They tried.
I was watching at whatever time they finally got that last out. I didn't text you because I wasn't sure. I figured you were up, but I wasn't sure, and you might not be. I figured at worst you weren't very excited about it, so I just turned the TV off and went.
It's
back
a rocky start for our pitcher, old Clevenger, who looks like, you know, Led Zeppelin, member of Led Zeppelin with the long hair and everything. It looked like I looked in high school, you know, a long time ago. He just didn't have it, and we have a very difficult time with Urias, who's probably the best pitcher in the National League. The one that I was shocked, Houston Astros and Seattle Mariners.
The whole time.
I know, and the manager brings in a starter to close the game to get that last out. I thought, you know what, this is not going to work out. Robbie Ray, first pitch, three-run bomb, walk-off. I love baseball. Yeah. You got to love it. Okay, now. We've got mortgage applications. This comes as no surprise. I haven't seen my friend lately. I have a friend who's a big mortgage, selling mortgages, getting loans for folks. I haven't seen him lately, but it's got to be tough sledding for the mortgage business right now. Imagine there's some layoffs going on. You've got the 30-year at 6.81. We're almost at 7%. Brought the housing market to a standstill, which is by design. Okay, we'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. NASDAQ down 22 now, Dow up 106. And we were talking about the Bank of England before we went to break. It's been a while since trading hinged on events in the UK, but the sudden twist in Bank of England bond market interventions are reverberating globally. Well, you know, all of a sudden, their bond market went crazy, and rates started rising. It's up to 4.8 on the 30-year now, and a lot of their pension funds were getting margin calls. So they had to intervene, do some quantitative easing. But their guy, Bank of England, Bailey, who may be out of a job soon, he's done some gaffes over there. It's not Beetle Bailey, but it is a gaffe-prone guy, apparently, and that's causing a lot of commotion in the bond market. Now, if that's not bad enough, their GDP in UK contracted 0.3% in August amid a fall in industrial production. And I was looking at their industrial production numbers, negative 5.2 year over year. Their manufacturing production, minus 6.7. That's terrible. UK is definitely going into a recession from my point of view. I don't think there's an inverse fund on UK.
There might be soon.
Yeah, maybe pro funds. Maybe we should start one.
There used to not be one on ARC, right? Until we found them from Tuttle.
So. Yeah, and it broke out again yesterday. SARC broke out.
In Germany, by the way, you get this big IIF conference in D.C. where you've got essentially world bankers from around the globe meeting, and you're getting certainly a lot of pessimism in terms of. That's where you've got the IMF, I think, forecast that you mentioned got dropped back down, to 2.7. In Germany, the Germany finance minister expects their economy to contract 0.4% next year. So,
wow.
In 2023. So, they're essentially predicting a recession. And then I think you finally heard the R word out of Biden's mouth yesterday.
Yes, so, I was going to get to that. That's our next story.
Sorry. Yeah, John.
That's okay. But, I mean, before that, you've got IMF, the International Monetary Fund, trimming global economic forecast again for 2023. This is not a good environment for the stock market, I would just continue to say. I've always said that you don't want to own bonds in a rising interest rate environment, and you want to be careful with stocks in a recessionary environment, which is what we're in right now, not only here in the U.S., but across the globe. Let's see. They trimmed their forecast. Persistent and broadening inflation is adding to pressure, the IMF said in its annual World Economic Outlook. It expects global growth to slow to 3.2% in 2022. That's unchanged from its prior forecast. But we were at 6% in 2021. For 2023, it forecasts 2.7% growth, down from 2.9. They believe that more than a third of the global economy will contract in 2023. While the three largest economies in the world, the United States, the Euro area, and China, will continue to stall, and they expect global inflation to climb 8.8% this year and then fall to 6.5% next year. And I think President Biden getting out in front of when our GDP comes out, what was that date again?
We had I want to say the first reading is the 28th of
late October
of October, but I'll give you that number in just a second. I want to say it was the 28th. I should have it written down, but I've looked it up a number of times, still can't remember.
Yeah, that's one that I'm not looking forward to. He says a recession is possible. Well, we've had two quarters of down recessions, economist Biden. But it will only be very slight, he said, if it occurs. Well, that's like having a slight heart attack. Yeah, okay, you're going to have a heart attack, but it won't last long. And it'll be slight. President Biden is conceding now that a U.S. recession is possible, but added in an interview on CNN yesterday that he doesn't expect one to occur. And if it does, it will only be very slight. I don't think there will be a recession, the Democratic president said late Tuesday in an interview on CNN. If it is, it will be very slight. That is, we'll just move down slightly. Okay, well, we'll see when we get that GDP.
October 27th.
I'll put that on my calendar.
October 27th. So we've got 15 days from now, so.
Yes, and right in front of the election there, which is now just 3 weeks, about 3 weeks out. Okay, another policy by this administration, whether you're for it or against it, it shook up a lot of stocks yesterday. It's the gig economy. Uber got smashed yesterday, and other gig Lyft, DoorDash, because, you know, the labor board, the U.S. Labor Secretary, Marty Walsh, wants all of these folks classified as employees. Which, you know, a lot of people that I know that, you know, make a little money on the side, they have other jobs. They do Uber, you know, when they've got some free time. I know a guy who works for Boeing, and when he gets off work, he does Uber to the airport and back and whatnot.
Well, isn't one of the big definitions, you know, meaning, you know, they have to, you know, if they tell you what time to come to work, right, that's one, you know, indication that you're an employee. I know there's an unemployment lawyer, but there's a bunch more than that. But you can do it whenever you want. So, number one, you don't have a schedule. So, you know, in my opinion, at least for that part, right, you can do it when you want. So, you know, you technically aren't an employee, right?
Yeah.
What employee can show up to work whenever they want?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, this is all, you know, workers of the world unite kind of stuff. It's top rival Lyft also got clobbered. An issue was a proposal from the Biden administration that would require the likes of Uber, its top rival Lyft, and other companies like that to classify so-called gig economy workers and as regular employees instead of independent contractors.
I mean, that would be like if you're, you have something on Airbnb, and now you're an Airbnb employee. I mean, I don't see much of a difference, but yeah, that's just my own opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, this all kind of started in California. Several years ago, I had my stepdaughter do my, just bookkeeping. Very light. We don't have a lot of, you know, and she had several other clients, and she did it in the evenings after her job and whatnot, and they came after me saying she was an employee, and I had to pay all these back taxes on her. So that's the thinking behind it. It's ridiculous. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. The Dow has a little lift under it. It's up 176. The NASDAQ is down 1. Crude oil is down $1.76, and that is impacting the energy stocks. Today we do have a big one, an S&P 500 company reporting earnings today in Pepsi. And the stock, if you want to know if they beat or met or disappointed, you look at the performance of the stock, and it's up 4%. So that's a pretty good beat there. Posted better than expected Q3 earnings and raised full year guidance. Okay, so there's one that's not being hurt. You would think, too, that things like that would be fairly recession-proof. They had a 20% jump in revenue derived from the Frito-Lay North America and a rapidly accelerating business in Latin America were cited as key drivers of the strong performance. So they raised their growth from 10% to 12%. They beat earnings, or they're raising earnings by 10 cents. So, I mean, a very small sample of the S&P 500 companies, but there's a big one reporting today and beating and having a very good reaction to it. A strong dollar will be the new earnings excuse. We'll be hearing that, okay, as these companies come
in
and report.
I think we've been hammering that home, huh?
Yes, we will be hearing from companies that sell a lot overseas, the Caterpillars and 3Ms and whatnot, about how the stronger dollar is hurting them on the bottom line, because when they bring that money back, foreign currency, and convert it to dollars, they take a loss. They lose some of those dollars there, the value. And
same thing with international mutual funds. That's another big thing a lot of folks don't realize is most of those aren't hedged. And so, in other words, you know, even if, say, international stocks go up, right, you have those currency headwinds. So, the currency conversion will actually, takes away from, if the index is up, some international index is up 10%, and currency translation headwinds 5%. If the dollar goes up 5% against that currency, well, in reality, your return's only going to be 5%. So there's some
exactly.
It affects corporations, but it also affects your portfolio.
So there's lists being put out here today in the past week of companies that are insulated. Goldman Sachs. Let me just see if there's any good ones on this list at all. They say like Chipotle, okay, they're not going to be impacted, and Dollar General, Target.
Probably saving money on those avocados if they're buying them, say, from Mexico or somewhere else, right?
Yep.
Their dollar's going further.
Yep. And then, a couple of energy companies pop off the page here to me. Devon Energy doesn't have any exposure to the dollar. Pioneer Natural Resources, PXD, Marathon Petroleum, MPC, which is a big refiner. And then, of course, the healthcare stocks really don't have a lot of exposure to the U.S. dollar. Okay, we got anti-ESG ETF coming out. It's got to be a guy from the South because the symbol is YAL, YALL.
Really?
Was that you that brought that out?
That's one of my new favorites right there. I like it.
God Bless America ETF has launched.
They get so creative with those
things. Here's your assignment for tomorrow. Look into YALL and see what their top 10 holdings are. It says it's an actively managed fund that is attached with a 0.65 expense ratio and will hold 30 to 40 companies. They own Tesla. Well, you know, Elon Musk is pretty anti all this ESG. NVIDIA, I don't know why that is. Amgen. Tesla
has a dirty business. I mean, there's a reason why we don't have any foundries here, right? Well, we're trying to get more here, but there's a reason why we didn't have those foundries here to begin with. It's making that silicone, it can be a rough business.
Now, yesterday we read about GM investing and buying energy, battery storage and whatnot, trying to get ahead of the curve. Because GM has already stated, we're going all electric. We're all in on the electric vehicle. Well, that means that they're also got to find the supplies for those batteries. GM today takes a stake in an Australian miner as part of nickel supply plan. They need nickel, along with many other things. And there was a brouhaha last week with some of those coming from an African mine that is manned by forced child labor to get the some of the elements out of the ground to feed these Chinese, the batteries made in China. So you've got a race on for batteries. You've got a race on for lithium. You've got a race on for all of these rare earth minerals, some not so rare, like nickel and cobalt, etc., and a race on to build the infrastructure, the charging stations. I hope they're keeping up with the grid. There's my big worry. Citigroup lists five reasons not to be spooked by Apple this Halloween. Well, you know what? Apple, I was looking at it today, it's come down from 182 to 139. So it's down with the rest of the market, not as much as some of the others. It's trying to build the bottom at 140, somewhere in there. Its P.E. ratio is 23. Its forward P.E. ratio is 21. You know, it was up in the 30s not too long ago.
Market cap 2.26. Remember when we were hitting what, 3 trillion?
Yes,
right, at one point, and now it's 2.26.
So, you know, we don't currently own it. It's ranked number 560 in the app. It's a B- grade. I like B+ or better, but it's still a one of those stocks that I look at every day because it's so much of a bellwether stock. I just don't see the fervor, you know, iPhone 14, iPhone 13, is it that big of an upgrade? But it's a great company, and it's a stalwart, and it's going to be around. I don't like tech at all. I mean, you're looking at the tech sector, and it looks awful. I showed a chart of the NASDAQ today. Now, another one, okay, you're looking for bond ideas. We're always looking for bond ideas. Bed Bath and Beyond gains with creditors. Would you buy a bond of BBBY?
You lost me at Bed Bath. I knew where you were going after
Man,
that.
Man, what are they going to have to pay at
How
Rally?
Much is the rate? That's what I want to know. What's the rate?
They're trying to organize a group of bond holders with the goal of coming to an agreement to swap notes for longer dated securities. Oh, it's $5.22. That's not a bond issue that I would be looking at.
They're going to throw in some spatulas and a new Keurig machine for me, or what?
Well, I think those bonds will end up in one of them nonstick frying pans. You know, the nothing sticks to it. XPO Logistics, they price an offering, I always like to see 7.5, okay? You're up around 7. The inflation rate you know, they have to. I mean, and with our corporate bonds at four, or I mean, our U.S. Treasuries at four, you got to come out at a pretty big premium to sell your bonds, you know, and so 7.5 for a big trucking company. That's a pretty solid company. That's where that's at. Well, okay, what's today? Wednesday. I'll be starting to work on the newsletter tomorrow. It's all going to be about the biggest factor.
CPI.
Well, the CPI tomorrow is going to be very important. The Fed is going to be very important. And earnings are going to be very important. We have a very small sampling so far. We're looking for a very meager, when this all is said and done over the next 6 weeks or so, earnings season's about a six-week process, we're looking for 2.6% in growth versus the same quarter last year. I don't think we're going to make it. I think there's a possibility that it could be flat to a little bit down because you've got all of these things like strong dollar, inflation, you know, the producer prices going up. But we'll see. I mean, I've got an open mind, and we're going to take it a day at a time. So far, so good. Pepsi out of the gate, and the stock up 5.3%. That's because of the Mountain Dew we all drink around here in the South. Okay, we'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. What will it be as I look at the leaderboard today of today's tournament being held on Wall Street? The leaderboard looks terrible, absolutely terrible. I mean, this rally, if you can call it that, the NASDAQ's now down 23. Small caps are down 1.1%. Whatever rally there is, it's built on sand, shifting sand, not rock. It looks terrible, but here are your leaders today. Well, you know, Moderna and BioNTech, I think there's a lot of vaccine people, you know, what do you call that when people are just tired of it, more vaccine news today.
Desensitized to it, really.
Yeah.
I use the example of when you take, you know, 9/11 and terrorist attacks and everything, how the market reacted, certainly when the market reopened for the first, you know, few days after 9/11, and the market for, you know, a handful of years after that, any time you heard any news about a terrorist attack, whether it was here or abroad, you know, the market always reacted negatively, and then eventually over time
fatigue sets in.
Something would happen in France, for example, and the market wouldn't move at all. And so I think a lot of that is, you know, kind of fatigue or you're just desensitized.
Yeah.
After
9/11, I remember a lot of the bomb detection stocks were really flying for quite some time, you know, because we didn't have them at the airports, I don't think, at that time.
Yeah, but not that I can recall. And
now you've got them at a Padre game. You got to go through a bomb thing. Okay, so, you know, I don't get too excited there. The rest of the leadership, I mean, the only quality that I see are Pepsi and Coca-Cola, which are kind of recession-proof, and you had the good report from Pepsi, but the rest are all inverse funds. And it's pretty much the same inverse funds that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, probably. One that's on the trading list, potential trading idea list. LABD is up 5% today. It's three times inverse the biotechs. And, of course, the biotech stocks are out there on the limb. If you're looking at long duration, they're the longest of the long duration. And, you know, some days there will be some good news in the biotech sector like we had with some here recently. But Amgen had a big day the other day. But overall, I mean, that's not a real good sector to be in a rising interest rate, terrible NASDAQ chart kind of environment. LABD is up 5%. Man, I'm telling you what, the real estate inverse ETFs, they continue to sizzle. DRV, Drive, DRV is up 3.3%. I mean, this is the leadership in the market. These are the best performers. These are the leaders in today's market. That shows you how bad it is right now. SOX, which we've been talking about, that's inverse the semiconductors three times. It certainly looks a lot better than the chart of NVIDIA. SOX is one of the strongest charts in the market today. I'm almost certain that that's on our trading idea list today, which was about 62 out of 6,057. I narrowed it down yesterday. These are the 52, 59, whatever it is, best-looking charts to have a look at here on this day. And, you know, it gives you something to do while we're waiting for a better market environment. Some of these inverse funds continue to break out, like SOX. It's up 2.6% today. WEBS, which is inverse the internet. Man, that's a good chart. That's a chart that used to be the oil stocks or, you know, good tech stocks or the electric vehicle stocks. WEBS, W-E-B-S, is three times inverse the internet index. And one other, well, this one, kind of a statement on the days we live in, ShotSpotter. I've mentioned that before. It's a security device for the cops, the police, which detects gunfire, alerts authorities, and analyzes the area for where the gunfire came from. And I'm not quite sure, you know, where they mount it or how it works, but it's up 5.8% today. Some big police force must be adopting it. There's certainly plenty of shootings going on across America these days. So ShotSpotter, S-S-T-I. And then the last one would be the small caps are having a horrible day. They've tried to hold in there, but now they're starting to crumble. TZA is three times inverse the small cap stocks, the Russell 2000. And I was talking to the guys from ProFunds when they came to my office, and we were talking about the Russell 2000, about 1,950 stocks in the Russell 2000 are really garbage. But you got to make up an index. If you're going to have an index, okay, you got to include all the garbage too. So that's pretty vulnerable index to pick on if things continue to get worse. And there's several. There's TWM and there's RWM. There's three. 1-to-1, 2-to-1. This is the 3-to-1 version. It's up 2.8%. Well, you know what? We'll see what we can find today. We'll be going through our list and checking it twice. There may be some opportunities. We've already got some movers from the list that we've been sending out. And a lot of these stocks have been on the list since I started sending it out last Thursday. They're still on there. I maybe make four or five changes a day from that list, but they're the best-looking charts right now in a bad market. And obviously a lot of them are going to be coming from the inverse side of things. Okay, well, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, virtual appointment, you can give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. You can talk to a chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner in these turbulent times. You can get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, which for the next several weeks, probably somewhere in there, I'll be continuing to offer out the daily best potential idea trading list, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.